All right, Keith, it is May, early May 2014. And this is probably really annoying and pretentious, but it occurred to you because it's springtime. And springtime just makes you think of other times in your life, so you went back to listen to some old ham radios from 2010. And they were really useful in bringing you back to this time in your life. You know, in a lot of ways, this is a really boring show. But, but it really does. It's like tentpoles. It makes those days stand out more. And I mean, it's useful in that sense. It is like a diary. And, yeah, you know, the internet just made diaries weird. Diaries used to be for no one. Diaries used to just be... I don't even know. I don't know why people made them. And then once the internet hit, then it all became public, and that was that. And this show is basically like that. You know, it's like, well, who's really listening to this? Some, a few little people. But any time that, if there was any kind of an audience, it was back then in like 2009, 2010. Did I say 2010 before? No, you were in Toronto by then. It was 2009 when you were still in New York, are the episodes you were listening to. That's what this show's for. This show is just for reminding yourself about your life. I mean, I guess it's just convenient to put it on the internet. Some people listen to it, which is, that's cool, I guess, but that's not what it's for. It's only for you. So you had this idea that maybe you should just talk to yourself directly. Like, that's all that you were doing anyway. So maybe it's weird, maybe it's lame, stupid thing to do. I don't know. It might work for that XO you've been meaning to do about your brother. just to remind you of this day. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting ready to go home, and moving is always hard. And, you know, it finally puts up, sort of wraps a bow around whatever's been happening, or it puts it into a segment. Like, this will be the Toronto segment, and it makes it obvious all the things that didn't happen here or that didn't maybe go anywhere. And combined with going back home, right back into the maw of all the stuff that didn't go right there, you know? I don't know, man. Moving is, it's exciting, but it's really tough. There's a reason why nobody does it. So yeah, just depressed, feel terrible, can't sleep, would feel better if I could sleep, but Junior, just feeling like this, it's harder to sleep. Like, I don't know, it's pretty bad tonight. So you were gonna get up and try to work on that stupid fucking XO about your brother, and just can't, man. You can't fucking do that. It's brutal. So instead, we're gonna do this other idea that you had yesterday, because we were listening to Colin Moriarty, who is an IGN guy, but you know him from the Game Over Greggy podcast and the conversations with Colin stuff on YouTube. And he was talking about different bands, and he brought up how 311 is his favorite band. Now, I mean, as we both know, 311, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I guess we never really heard it that much, right? I mean, how weird is this now that I'm talking like to myself, like we're two people? But I mean, we are, right? Whoever fucking listens to this is going to be a different person. Yeah, I don't know, 311, just slip by, whatever. I mean, it seems like the kind of thing that I would know, and I've never really been embarrassed about liking shitty music that no one likes. But the little bit that I heard 311, and I can see why. I mean, there's some very off-putting things about that band. They, just the way the music is mixed is weird. And the, in the song we're gonna play, it's only the kind of cooler sounding guy, but there's two vocalists, and one guy sounds pretty cool and the other guy sounds really weird and high-pitched voice, and he's just really lame. Anyway, just grab the greatest hits, and some of it's kind of good, some of it's kind of catchy. So there's this song called, I think it's called Flowing, but let me just make sure we got the right fucking name here. Yeah, it is called Flowing, and it's just been, it's been stuck in your head for a couple days. You put it in a Vinyl Countdown episode. So I'm going to play that because the idea for this episode is bands that nobody really has any respect for, but that have some songs that are good. So we'll start with 311 and Flowing, and then see what else I can dig up here.
Along the way.
Here's a good one, is Creed. Nobody respects Creed, and they probably shouldn't. Like, I don't know, they really seem to get bad fast. Like, I mean, it seems like their first album was kind of just like a Pearl Jam sort of type rip-off thing, but I only really heard them, like, after that, or just singles, whatever singles, you know, and they're just, they were terrible. Fucking the horrible shit that would come on Much Music, and you're just like, this needs to go away, fuck this. And then Dan had that first Creed album. And, you know, Dan never really steered us wrong with music. Dan always knows what's good. And, he dropped it off at the house, and he was like, dude, I know, Creed, right? I know. But, like, this, honestly, this album, it's pretty good, man. Give it a try. And it took forever to actually listen to it. But it was back in those CD days, so, you know. Eventually, you just kind of ran out of CDs, so... Should I say we put it on? You put it on? Oh, you didn't put it on. I'm not talking. Who I'm talking to in the future didn't do it. Us in the past did. I'll say we. We put it on. And it's really, that first album was pretty good. I was remembered about this because we were going through CDs. Craig's about to move out of the apartment, and we were going through CDs for that Canadian CD party that we had. And Creed was in there, and he was like, man, you know, everyone shits on Creed, but that song, My Own Prison, is actually really good. And I was like, yeah, it is, dude. And also, this song, Torn, is also awesome. So let's listen to Torn, because Torn was the first song on that album, and it's the best. It's really good. It's like, you know, hard to stick up for Creed, but I'll always stick up for this song, man. This song fucking rules.
Thank you. guess I'm the one who, the only one who would carry on this far. The peace is dead in my soul. I have blamed the reasons for my intentions. Poor.
So, kind of stuck in a little bit of a limbo where you definitely do feel better being awake and just doing this, even if it's just this dumb little show. Rather than just laying in bed, unable to sleep. But now it's getting to that point where it's like 3 in the morning, starting to push it pretty far. Maybe trying to sleep is better. It's starting to get a little hungry, but there's nothing just easy to eat. It doesn't require prep. How mundane, how boring. Oh, here's something you might forget. So, 34 years old, at the house cooling party that we had, that Canadian CD party, because Craig's leaving, and then after the end of the summer, at some point, me and Matt are all leaving. Sat around, listening to CDs. Now, last summer was just like, let's drink a whole bunch. Let's just drink gin like crazy all the time. And it went really well. It was weird. It's like, hey, shit, I can really push this, like, super far, and it's no big deal. This year, not at all that way. Man, as you know, we hadn't thrown up since we were a little kid, and then with the appendicitis, that's when you knew it was real bad, was when you threw up in the bathtub, and it's like, whoa, haven't thrown up in like 15 years. This is serious trouble. This isn't just, I don't know, a stomach ache or food poisoning or whatever. This is serious badness. Well, on Friday, holy fuck, I don't know, the drinking just totally just, whew, just got away from me, man. Threw up a little bit, super drunk, awful, miserable, felt just awful all night, awful the next day. But the biggest problem was at one point you came into your bedroom to get a painkiller and just fell. Probably tripped on the little bed roll or whatever, but just fell. Just fell right on the ground. Didn't seem so bad at the time, but it was like a big loud thud, like enough that everyone in the living room was like, what just happened? But yeah, it just had this sore neck, sore arm, sore shoulder ever since. Every day you wake up thinking like, okay, it'll be better today, and it's not. That's a sign of getting old. Pains just do not stop. You remember, this was about a month ago, just another sign of getting old where, you know, just whatever random afflictions happen, little pains, little things that hurt here and there. But then, you know, they start to come a little more often or they last a little longer. And it was really noticeable when a bunch of them just happened to hit at once. It was, I'm trying to remember now, there was like a pain in your ankle. And the weirdest one was this recurring stinging pain in the scalp that it seemed like it was a muscle spasm. I guess there's very thin muscles that go across your whole scalp. So if you have the right kind of like neck pain and stuff, it can make your head hurt, but it would just be these intermittent, like quite powerful stinging pain in the scalp. And that lasted for a couple of days. And that weird rash that still, I don't know if, like, I'm starting to wonder if this is permanent scarring. Like, it just, there's little bits of it that never went away. But that weird rash that really just was brutal. On the underside of your right arm and on your chest. All those things hit at once, and just walk into Tim Hortons and just being like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why? It's just so much misery all at once. Like, everything just hurts, and it's like, fuck, is this what it's going to be like to be old? Just a revolving, like, something always wrong, and then they pile up and a bunch of things are wrong at once. But then, at Tim Hortons, you remember this fucking dude? It's fucking amazing. This guy who was panhandling. And he obviously knew this would kind of work on people. Like, he came over and put his hand out, and his fingers in on both hands, like every finger, it seemed, the little bit that we got to look, was gone. Was like at the first knuckle or the second knuckle, just tons of fingers missing. And it's, how does that happen, man? Like, how do you lose that many? Like, frostbite? Maybe it must have been. That must have been it. Like, it must have all been like together, like he must have passed out in the snow or something, because I don't know, man, but yeah. And then we just gave him like $5, like immediately, just like no question, like, you have got serious bad times, man, you deserve some paper money. Although even then he saw us take out the wallet and still hung around, right? Like, you know, if there's five, then there's more than five. Like, I mean, I guess I can't blame him. Isn't that fucking pathetic? That, like, hey, look, I want you to notice that I gave you a toonie. I want you to be grateful because I gave you a little bit of money in your goddamn miserable nightmare life. Like, so fucking ridiculous. But I was, like, fascinated by that guy's hand because it's, you know, it's like you see that shit in movies and stuff, whatever, but that just body horror, like, there it is in real life. That's not coming back. Like, those fingers are gone forever. His hands are so fucked up. Like, that is so fucking crazy. And then to watch him go down the line at Tim Hortons asking for money from people, and just that look of just revulsion, man, is amazing. Like, he just put his hand out in front of, like, these women. Like, this one woman reading a book, and when she saw it, like, I bet she's never been that shocked in her whole fucking life, man. Because it was a horror movie right there. Just, wow. So fucking insane. Man, after a story like that, I feel real dumb playing Nickelback, but that's what I got lined up next. So Nickelback, you know. Nickelback, and, you know, like, well, so this was that song Old Enough. It's the first Nickelback song we ever heard, just on Much Music, and it's a really good song. And then we tracked down that album, The State, and it's a real good album. It was just a good band, that first album. And then they got big in the States, and it's just, man, I don't know, it's just, I mean, they're not, like, the worst, but just so generic, and just, like, who gives a shit about this band? It's always weird, too, like, when a band gets popular, but people don't go back and they don't give a fuck about the earlier stuff. It's, like, it's just sort of sad. Nickelback had this really cool album and just ignored by everyone except a tiny little contingent of Canadian people. Anyway, Old Enough by Nickelback. Path I wanted to drive. Digging through stuff, and this episode was gonna start getting a little weird, just like In Sync, like Do Your Thing, or Vitamin C's Unhappy Anniversary, or even I was gonna play Bob Seger by Bruce McCullough, because it's got that line about how it's an album that somebody gave him as a joke. Actually, I will play it at the end, but it's no joke, I like it, but it's getting weird. So I'm just gonna finish with good old Megadeth, Use the Man. And then we'll play that weird Bob Seger song, and that's enough. That's good. It's getting a little late. Time to go to bed. You saved me again, Ham Radio. Gave me something to do. Some reason to get up and do something that's not too hard to do. Just easy. All right. Well, have a good day, man. Whatever the fuck you're doing now. You fucking old weirdo. Doing whatever fucking dumb shit you're doing. All right. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
sitting in a Washington Square hotel. Not the Washington Square Hotel. I was listening to a Bob Seger CD. Someone gave me as a joke, but it's no joke, I like it. Something about today makes me forget all of the steakhouse, small dance floor dancing makes me forget all the co-workers groping to we've got tonight. Yeah, but we've also got families. Jackie, I'm tired of talking to you. How does room service get confused between a clubhouse and a common bowl of oatmeal? Listening to the music, I think I understand what a young, beardless Bob Seger must have lived through. All the cushionless couches at all the sides of the road doesn't seem as sad as you. All the fills in the phone book, all the fish in the sea couldn't keep me. Lying on a pile of coats, my face painted happy birthday. It was a conceptual joke, it was nobody's birthday. I was lying on a pile of coats, I was leaving a party early. It didn't work too good because the party was at my house. Some silhouette claimed she was my girlfriend, asked me exactly what was my latest plan for my downstairs 40 friends who sat staring at their thumbs. Who did I think I am? Well, ma'am, I am Bob Seger, lying on some coats. I am Bob Seger. Let 'em come and see what I've accomplished. I am Bob Seger. This is my album cover shot. I am Bob Road Dog Seger. Turn the page.
All right, it's the next day. I feel like I should do a little update. I mean, I guess this is nothing unusual, right? The push and pull, the back and forth, the... It's like a gentle version of being manic depressive, right? Or whatever, different, I don't know what they call it these days, the different terms. Certainly not anything that we're not used to, but yeah, it just really is night and day, which is funny because it's daytime now. So yeah, after I did that stuff last night, it was like 3 a.m. I'm still just laying there. Finally, I was like, I can't handle this anymore. And I just took a little over-the-counter sleeping pill, which, man, when did we learn about those? I don't even remember, but just that you can buy sleeping pills just from a pharmacy, you know? And I try not to use them very often, but I can't believe, like, man, do you remember this day in Vancouver? I just couldn't sleep, stayed up all night. It's when we lived with Leo, watched Mean Creek, which I don't know, it's not like that was a particularly super memorable movie, just that's what we happened to watch. And yeah, just couldn't sleep, and then had to go in to work at the theater and called up and were like, dude, you can't, like, we just can't do this today. And there was no one else to be projectionist, so we had to go in, and then it was like, got all the projectors set up and then went and curled up in that little room where you take the Allen key and you open the door and you can go hide in, and just slept through the first shows. Thank God they were all just in focus and everything. Yeah, just literally sleeping up in the booth and no one even knew. So fucking exhausted. But I mean, like, that's a day when a sleeping pill would have just, like, man, that would have helped. That was, like, medically necessary. So anyway, it's good to know that that's a thing now. But, yeah, I took the sleeping pill and slept for, like, 10.5 hours. Woke up at, like, 2 p.m. Me and Craig just went and got our final Taco Bell. And now we're heading off to meet a bunch of people to go see Kenny versus Spenny thing. feel so much better is the point. Like, just, man, so depressed last night. Just awful. Just laying in bed. Just everything felt so shit. And now everything feels so much better. So I just thought I should say that. So, in tribute to that, let's play. So this album, The Sultans, I totally forgot about this. I think I found out about it from Stephen Merchant's old show. And it was like one of his like roommate or whoever was on his music show and mentioned this band. And they're just some band that, like, the guy, I looked him up and, you know, he was in all these different bands and none of them really seemed to hit, including this one. But just, like, so perfectly excellent, especially these first three tracks of The Sultans. What is this album called? Shipwrecked. Like, perfect. Just, like, perfect songs. So let's play those three. And all three songs, only 6 minutes. They're quick songs. In tribute to feeling good again. Here's some good, happy music. Awesome.
No, you never.